We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
How we looking? Bill Michaels Show on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. Thanks for taking a listen to us. Final hour of the program on this Wednesday. Getting you ready for the weekend. You got Brewers baseball, some Badgers football. By the way, speaking of Badgers football, game day is going to be on site over at the Big House in Michigan prior to the Badgers and Michigan kicking things off this weekend. So I'd throw that out there. Then you've got the Packers coming up on Monday night. We'll get back into Brewers chatter coming up here shortly, but let's bring in Paul, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and gold analyst Paul Immig is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Immig, our green and gold analyst, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, before I went to the top of the hour, I said it's been a while since we've had to talk about kind of what's coming out of Green Bay. You're hearing Ha-Ha Clinton Dix saying he wants to be used more, and Josh Jones, or Ha-Ha Clinton Dix says he doesn't know if he's going to be back. Josh Jones saying he wants to be more playing time. You've got now questions about Aaron Rodgers and why he's not looking at wide-open receivers, and is it the knee or not the knee, and if it's not the knee, then what is it? What's the problem there? There seems to be some veiled comments regarding the head coach. I said a couple of years ago that there was a lot of stuff swirling around 1265 that caught the attention of the team, and they never really regained consciousness when it comes back to just playing football on the field. Are we looking at something like that again here?
Yeah, I think the word that you were saying without saying is dysfunction, organizational dysfunction, or at least team dysfunction, you know, on a much like a, on a smaller scale, the roster itself, the locker room, maybe the general vibe for or appreciation for Mike McCarthy and maybe what the players are both thinking. And now, you know, again, because losing can bring out the worst sometimes, you know, winning cures all, and at the same time losing may, you know, exasperate issues. And I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a team that, yeah, they're 2-2-1, which, you know, all things considered isn't that bad. There's not that many teams in the NFC with a winning record. Kind of been a very, you know, interesting year so far across the NFC in that regard, that you really only have maybe two or three really good teams and the rest seem to be puttering a little bit. But yeah, Bill, the word dysfunction, I think, is the word that's coming up right now. And I think if they had a really strong showing against San Francisco, which they should, I think you could argue the 49ers are the worst team in the league right now coming off of the loss to Arizona and not having Garoppolo for the rest of the season. You could easily make that argument. They should be able to get fat, get healthy, call it what you want, against a really bad football team on Monday night, and then go into their bye week feeling a little bit better about it. But if that's a close game, or if they lose that game, and then that feeling has to fester over a bye week, you know, it's all these things coming out, Bill, I don't necessarily think it paints a picture of like toxicness, but dysfunction certainly comes to mind. And you know, you can even add one thing you didn't mention is, you know, what Greg Jennings was saying again, you know, with Colin Cowherd. And, you know, this is a perfect opportunity for someone like Greg Jennings, who enjoys being heard, to sound off, because he knows that situation really well. And so it gives him a platform to talk about it. But yeah, this is a bad look. And I think the Packers should be very, very, they should send a thank you basket to the Milwaukee Brewers, because the Brewers being good is at least dampening a little bit of, I think, the attention that this would be getting in the state, because, you know, at least the Brewers are doing so well. Because this Packers stuff is, if the Brewers were out of the playoffs right now, put it this way, this Packers thing would be louder. It would be a much more focused topic because, yeah, things don't sound or look positive right now for things happening up in Green Bay.
So let me ask you this. James Jones, on the opposite side of the spectrum, says that this team, he believes, can reel off four straight. Do you believe that?
Well, it kind of reminds me of what you told me a week ago when you talked to John Kuhn. And, you know, a Ferrari in the garage just waiting to rev its engine and go, you know, get going 180 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour, and take off. And I, you know, it's that thing between do you trust that the talent on paper will eventually start to manifest into actual results? I still think on paper, you know, you want to put this team on, a game of Madden. It's a good team. I really think from a roster perspective, this is a better team than what they've had in maybe the last two or three years. I truly believe that. Yeah, they take a little bit of a hit, obviously, with Mo Wilkerson being out for the year, Devon House being out for the year. And every team is dealing with injuries. Randall Cobb has missed the last two games, but on paper, it's a really good team. So, James Jones, I don't think is being a homer to say that. I think you look at any team that is quarterbacked by Aaron Rodgers that has the best or one of the two best offensive left tackles in the league protecting his blind side, that has, you know, a top 10 wide receiver in Davante Adams, that has a top 10 tight end in Jimmy Graham. It just seems like this team should have already gotten hot, but because it hasn't yet, that it very much could get hot. I think the question that Brian Gutekunst and that Mark Murphy have to be asking themselves, because keep in mind, Mike McCarthy has a year and a half left on his contract, whereas Brian Gutekunst has 4.5 years left. In the past, the coach and the GM always lined up. Their contracts were always the same. They always expired the same year. They were joined at the hip, call it what you want. What Murphy and Gutekunst, I think, have to ask themselves is Mike McCarthy getting enough out of the roster that's put on the field? And if he's not, how come he's not? And what confidence do you have that can be turned around without a major, major shift and shakeup? And I just, if they don't start winning quickly and probably winning decisively, and that, of course, starts with Monday before their bye, these questions are only going to get louder.
What do you see if you had to put your finger on this thing right now, what is it?
I think, Bill, there are, and I'm not smart enough to be able to find these things, but it's like when I see it broken down in a lot of these film study things, whether it's, that early morning ESPN show, whether it's just some of the good stuff you see on Twitter, whether it's the coverage that they do at The Ringer, it makes it clearer and clearer to me that if you compare what the Packers are doing offensively compared to the rest of the league, it's simplistic comparatively to the rest of the league and where things are going and where the best offenses are, what they're doing structurally, schematically. It would seem that the Packers are much more basic, and there's a lot more reliantness, that's not a word, they're much more reliant on the wide receivers to basically get open on their own, on Rodgers to make the right call at the line of scrimmage. It's just more basic, and that's not it doesn't have to be a bad thing. You just have to have the right players and the right situation. And again, it's like, when the Packers were 4-6, when was that, Bill? 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-6, and the quote that you and I kept going back to at that time, and of course, we had to, shut up really quickly because the Packers reel off 6 straight in the regular season, and then they go to the NFC Championship game and all of that. But at the time, the thing we kept coming back to is the quote of, 10 years is the shelf life of any coach, no matter how highly successful they might be in one place, because, defenses catch up to you, other offenses pass you by, the message gets stale, call it what you want. And I don't know. I mean, it's not like I would, be sitting outside of, of leading a rallying cry that Mike McCarthy should, not be the coach anymore. I'm not to that point, but I don't think it's an issue of necessarily talent. I'm not saying they're a super stacked, great team, because I think Ted Thompson's last few drafts really put this team in a hole. I don't think there's really anybody that would question that. Yeah, there was a couple hits. Kenny Clark is a great player. That was a really good first-round pick. Blake Martinez in the fourth round, pretty good. Certainly Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the middle of the round. But there are more examples than not of that Ted's recent drafts just weren't that good, and it probably set this team back several years. So there's something to be said there. But I just think that, and this is just one person's subjective opinion, there's more talent there than what is showing up on a given day. And when you get down consistently, Bill, how many times this year already in five games have they been down double digits, you know, in the first quarter, in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
They've had to crawl their way back, Chicago and the game this past game. And they, you know, yeah, they won 22-0 against Washington, but that was far from a, you know, a clean game offensively speaking. So, yeah, they are teetering very close to, you know, to a team that I think is going to start being questioned more than they already are in terms of, are they even a playoff team, much less a Super Bowl contending team? And they have to right the ship quickly for those questions to maybe at least be delayed, if not coming to the forefront.
Talking with Green and Gold analyst Paul Immig, he's joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And so I'll get to this, Paul. I know people are talking about firings and all that kind of stuff, and I still don't think that happens in the season. I think that there's a lot of time to right the ship. Now, here's the question, though. They're also a couple of plays away. They're a kick away in the game against Minnesota. They're, you know, obviously some kicks away against beating Detroit. Is this team closer to being good or to being really bad?
Good. I love the question. I love the thought process because So even when I was talking to you earlier this week, you know, I said, well, what if Mason Crosby doesn't have a career worst day in week five? What if Randall Cobb doesn't have a career worst day in week two and it doesn't miss the last several games because of injury? What if the refs get the call right in Detroit on that punt that they said, you know, hit Kevin King,
right?
Tremont Williams said didn't hit Kevin King, and the refs even admitted as much to him. What if Clay Matthews' sack in week two against Minnesota, as ridiculous as it was, wasn't called, you know, roughing the passer and was instead a sack, a game-ending sack? What all these, you know, all these what ifs? But, you know, I think they're closer to being what they put on. This is probably a weird way to say it, but like what they've put on the field so far has me thinking they're closer to being a bad team than a good team. But I just can't fully get myself to think that an Aaron Rodgers, David Bakhtiari, Davante Adams, Jimmy Graham offense can be 7-8-1. I mean, there's just. How could this, and Rodgers is hobbled, I get that, but he's playing through it. He's not playing well and not necessarily playing very well, but how much of that is injury-related or not? I just, if this is a 7-8-1 or an 8-7-1 year, based on the talent that they have, it would be a major, major letdown. But then I watched, you know, I rewatched the game from this past Sunday again, and I said, I don't think this team is good. Yes, Mason Crosby could have made the kicks and they probably would have won. The punt return could have gone the other way and all these other, they still could have won, but that's against a Detroit team that I just personally don't think very highly of. I don't think the Lions are a very good team this year. They were 1-3 coming in. So I think if you force me to pick, I'd say they're closer to being a bad team than a good team. And I just can't believe that that's maybe how quickly it's come to that thought process. Cause that shouldn't be the case, but man, go back and watch the past two games, Buffalo and Washington, this past Sunday with Detroit, the last three games, and tell me that you think that that's a team that's good. It just doesn't look that way, right?
Yeah, I would agree. Appreciate it as always, Paul. We'll chat again later in the week, okay?
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. Think about this. The Packers have been outscored. Now, this is an article coming out of ESPN. Rob Domofsky wrote, the Packers have been outscored 42-13 in the first quarter this season, 76-43 in the first half this season. It is a slow start offense. No other way to put it, I guess. They're tied for 18th in points in the league, tied for 19th in red zone touchdowns, and rate 10th in yardage. So they're getting the yardage, they're just not getting the points. He said he didn't throw to a wide-open Davante Adams on the opening drive for what would have been a sure first down. He didn't recognize the backside pressure while out of the pocket and begging for tight end Jimmy Graham to come back to the ball. Got strip-sacked, losing the fumble on the second drive. He overshot Equanimeous St. Brown in the end zone on the third possession. He also appeared to have Graham wide open on a shorter crossing route on the same play. Didn't go to him. Before they reached halftime, Rodgers had lost another fumble on a strip sack, and his two turnovers led to 10 first-half points against the Detroit Lions. No wonder there's continued talk of slow starts. So, when you look at all of that, as much as you want to say, well, it's play calling, and Mike McCarthy's lost his... how much of this can you pin just on the guy that is the quarterback? You know, because the talk is... Is it or is it not Aaron Rodgers' knee playing a factor in all of this? And if it's not, then what the hell is it? 855-830-8648. I just think it's very legitimate numbers when you start to break it down like that. We'll talk about this coming up and a whole lot more. Buy or sell up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. Treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders. They have a 98% success rate. That's 98%. 98% success rate. If you have a low T thing going on, you're talking about more mental clarity, better mood, better stamina. They can help you out there. Let's get you kind of energized all over again. Or the all-in-one weight loss program. Try it. Works. Can't start if you don't call. 414-455-4451. 414-455-4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. And it's worth a phone call. Without a doubt. Bill Michaels Show continues. You can always find us on the radio.com app. That's radio.com. Like us there. Favorite us there. It'll always pop up during the day when we're heading on the air. You can check it out. Brewers getting ready for the postseason. Packers trying to figure out their woes as they get ready for a Monday night contest. College game day coming to the big house where the Badgers are going to be this weekend at the University of Michigan. Quintez Cephas now suing the university, in case you're just tuning us in. And a lot continues to swirl about can the Brewers, will the Brewers knock off the Dodgers, and can the Packers regroup and put all their woes behind them and start to get back on the right path. So many questions, so little time. Let's do some buy or sell, shall we?
In the world of sports, a lot of people say a lot of things. But does it pass the big unit test? Let's play buy or sell. Brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 12 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the Bill Michaels Show.
Time now for buy or sell. Radio Joe alongside. What do we got, Joe?
Bill, the Brewers have an overall better pitching staff than the Dodgers.
Yes, I'm buying it. Look, we keep talking about this starting pitching, and then we keep talking about the bullpen, and the Brewers have the best bullpen in baseball, and top to bottom, and this and that. Yes, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to say the Brewers right now have, if not the best, one of the top three best total overall pitching staffs in baseball. I go back to what Ryan Braun said. And Ryan Braun said back in 2011 they were, quote, top heavy. Okay? And, to a certain extent, that can be true. Then you start to look at this team now, and you think they're solid top to bottom. And I think most people would agree with that. They'd say, okay, you know what? You're absolutely right. They've got a lot of good pitching. They've got a lot of good hitting. They've got depth coming off of the bench. So then you start to think to yourself, okay, well, what about this Dodgers team? Okay? This Dodgers team, when it comes to pitching, are they good? Well, they've got a lot of guys that are pretty good. They've used plenty of pitchers this season. My God, they used 31 pitchers this season. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at games and starts and such, they're a pretty good staff. I'm not gonna argue that. Obviously, Clayton Kershaw, 26 starts, 9-5, 2.73 ERA. You know, their starting rotation, Buehler's got a 2.62 ERA, 24 starts this season. You know, you've got, 21 starts out of Stripling this year, 3.02 ERA, 24 starts out of Hill this year, 3.66 ERA. You can go on from there. They're good. I just think the Brewers total overall with the pen and everything, I just think the Brewers are better. Better, quote, out-getters. And when we went to ERA, team ERA and such, the Brewers are a little tick better. So I'm going to say the Brewers are a better staff than what the Dodgers are. I'm going to buy that.
Buy or sell?
The Brewers have a deeper group of offensive players than the Dodgers.
Buy that, too. Buy that too. Just team average. You're right there. I mean, the Brewers have been just as good, if not better, in many statistical categories. So I'm going to say yes first and foremost. But I'll say this: right now, the Dodgers, some of the mainstays that they're relying upon, specifically in the postseason, have not been hugely producing. So when you look at some of the guys that are towards the bottom of that lineup, Grandal is not hitting the ball right now. Hernandez not hitting the ball right now. Machado just had that three-run homer in the last game, but he's only batting 176 in the postseason. Muncy, one of their first basemen. Kemp hitting 250. Peterson, Taylor, Rue, Puig. I mean, they're smacking the ball. David Freese, Dozier, they're hitting the ball. But and even Dozier and Freeze have only, I think they only have like five or six at bats between them. So it's not like they're lighting the world on fire. But my point being is some of the guys you're relying on are kind of hitting the ball, but for the rest of the team, they just haven't been able to kind of get off the schneid. So they're hoping that the 4-day rest gets them there, and then they can start hitting the ball in Miller Park. But I'm going to say right now, top to bottom, the Brewers are a better offensive team.
Buy or sell?
Well, as you remember, Manny Machado, of course, was traded at the trade deadline to the Dodgers. He gave his introductory press conference at Miller Park. There was a lot of talk as to, you know, whether or not the Brewers came really close to getting Manny Machado. But buy or sell, Machado would not have made any difference had he been traded to the Brewers. It would not have changed who the Brewers were.
It wouldn't have changed him. It may have given him a little boost, made him a little bit better. I mean, I don't think the Dodgers get to this point without Machado. He's been good defensively. Let's face it. I mean, he hit 273 for the Dodgers, gave him 13 dingers, 42 runs batted in, scored 36, 14 doubles, two triples. And doesn't strike out a ton. He's only a 1-2 strikeout ratio when it comes to walks versus strikeouts. So I think he got him there, but I don't think it changes the Brewers and who they are. And the Brewers would still have been there. They may have been a tick better, but the Brewers still. Put it this way. You put up what Scope and Arcia. Now, Arcia had a heck of a second half of the season. But you take away Scope's numbers, put Machado's numbers in there, and this looks definitely different. It looks like a stronger team than what you're throwing out there right now. But I don't think they're hurting because they didn't get Machado. You know what I mean? I think the Dodgers needed Machado, and they got out of him what they were hoping to get. Maybe a little bit less, but not much. But the Brewers, it would have been kind of like icing on the cake. The Brewers were a good team regardless.
I'll say this. Had they gotten Manny Machado, guys like Corbin Burns would more than likely not be on this team.
True.
That's who the Orioles were trying to target.
Yep.
Buy or sell.
That's why sometimes it's okay not to trade prospects. The Brewers, Bill, buy or sell, can afford a split in the first two games.
Yes, I'll buy that too. You want to get the win in game one. You want to get the win in game one. Now, game two, if it's a close game and you come up just a little bit short, you know, a couple of hits and whatever, that's one thing. You get blown out or you lose a heartbreaker in extra innings, that's another. Because what you don't want to do is give the Dodgers this big load of momentum, I'm going to say. I'm not going to say confidence, because you're confident when you get here because you know you can win. But you don't want to give them this big load of momentum heading back to L.A. I still think the Brewers can get wins on the road. I don't have a problem with that. But if they split here, I'm not fretting. I would love to see them go to L.A. up 2-0, but I'm not fretting if they split here. What you don't want to do is lose the first two and have to go L.A. to push it back. To win the next three to push it back to Milwaukee. You just don't want to do that.
Buy or sell?
Okay, last one for you. Buy or sell? Don't be surprised if the Brewers swept the Dodgers.
Would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised either way. If the Brewers get swept, I wouldn't be surprised. That's what the beauty of this series is. I wouldn't be surprised either way. Look, I don't want it to happen as far as the Brewers getting swept, but Dodgers are a good team. We know the Brewers at times this season, their offense has gone by the wayside. The difference is that between Yelich and Kane, and obviously what Moustakas now brings to the table, guys like Domingo Santana coming off the bench, Ryan Braun, he lives for the postseason. It would shock me if they went into a prolonged slump, but the Dodgers have good pitching. And the Brewers have proven over time that usually if they go for a game or two, They don't stay mired into the lack of offensive productivity for very long. But if they did, it wouldn't shock me. But I would be ecstatic if the Brewers swept this thing and just got it right to the World Series. I would be giddy. Although, I got to ask you. I'm going to ask you a question, Joe. Has it been somewhat of a... It's been great for Brewers fans. But has the postseason kind of been a yawner?
What, in general?
Just in general. Other than Boston and New York and New York getting a win, it's kind of been anticlimactic. I mean, the Astros really just disposed of Cleveland. The Brewers just disposed of the Rockies. You know, they got a win in Atlanta, and the Dodgers had to play an extra game. But for the most part, it's kind of been a yawner of a postseason, hasn't it?
I would say it's been
exciting for Brewers fans.
Well, I think it's been almost stress-free for Brewers fans.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a state where we as fans, no matter what the team is, always get screwed. We always get hurt. We're always in depression after a couple of weeks after a team blows it. The Brewers made it look too easy in this series.
Right?
When was the last time that ever happened?
That's what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that they disposed of the Rockies and they did it the way they did it. And they did have the extra inning ball game, which was exciting. But I'm talking baseball as a whole. Baseball can't be thrilled with the outcomes of this, other than the fact that, you know, some of the teams you wanted into the postseason to go this deep are there. But it's been kind of a yawner. I mean, you had the Boston Red Sox just blow out the Yankees and then beat up on the Yankees. You had a climactic ninth inning last night with an instant replay to kind of finally decide things. But for the most part, it's been kind of a yawner.
Well, all I really care about are my Brewers. That's all I care about, and I don't expect them to go out and sweep the Dodgers. In fact, I will sell on what I just put out there. I would be shocked if they swept the Dodgers in four games. That means they have rattled off 15 straight wins. They've got to lose at some point. Right? It's baseball. Yeah, I got to lose,
That's the caveat. I keep thinking the same thing. I thought it when they came out of St. Louis.
I thought
it when they came out of Chicago. I thought it when they went into the Rockies series. And the way they're looking at it is they're not losing games or winning games. They're winning innings. You're only as good as that next inning starting pitcher or that out-getter. That's the way they're getting it done. It's just, I don't think about a win streak at this point. I know people do because everybody wants to go to George Webb. George Webb has put it out there. They win this next game, they go 12 in a row, baby. It's burgers for everybody. How we looking? But it's just, you keep thinking to yourself the same thing. They got to lose a game, right? So you start biting your nails a little bit. Oh, there it is.
To me, this series will go 6 or 7 games. Either way. I
said Brewers in 6, most likely. But usually the first game kind of tells my gut what I'm thinking. Sets a tone. That's it. That is buy or sell. Hey, the Brewers, we've been talking about them. Winning the Central Division Championship, and they are commemorating this historic event. BigTimeBats.com. That's BigTimeBats.com, offering the officially licensed Milwaukee Brewers Central Division team signature bat. I'm not kidding. 35 full inches. The facsimile signatures on the historic Brewers roster with the Brewers logo on this thing. The words 2018 Central Division Champions emblazoned across it. The bat limited 5,000. That's it. Going to sell for $129.95. Go to BigTimeBats.com. That's BigTimeBats.com and order right now. And or you can call them, by the way, 866-280-BATS, B-A-T-S, 866-280-BATS. And they've got exclusive bat sets there at BigTimeBats.com. It's BigTimeBats.com. Or call them 866-280-BATS. Trademarks and logos used with permission of Major League Baseball. And get yourself a piece of history. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. The Michael Show continues. Glad to have you. Want to remind you, coming up tomorrow night, we're going to be over at Moe's Irish Pub. We're going to be in Wauwatosa. It's going to be yours truly. Mike Clemens is going to be there from NFL Sirius Radio. We're also going to have Chuck Freeman from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. The morning show there in Milwaukee. Going to be talking a lot of football, getting you ready for the weekend. And then, obviously, coming up on Friday, you've got Brewers baseball as well. So big action-packed weekend coming up. But we may chat a little Brewers. Who knows? But for the most part, Packers and the NFL. And, you know, I got to ask, I mean, and I asked Paul Emig this question. I'll ask you. Do you feel like this Green Bay Packers team is closer to having a couple of extra wins or a couple of extra losses? And Paul, just my reaction to that, when I asked Paul the question, because you make a kick against Minnesota, you get a win. You make the kicks against Detroit, you get a win, okay? So I look at it and say, you know, hey, maybe it's a little bit different. Maybe this team at this point has a couple of extra wins. Maybe this team has 4 wins in the season. You know, maybe things aren't nearly as bad, you know? Aaron Rodgers and the offense play with a little more urgency early on in a ball game. They get into a flow, get into a rhythm a little bit earlier. Maybe things are looking up, right? Maybe things are a lot better than what I'm looking at. And then you get to kind of the eyeball test. And you think, okay, the eyeball test. It just doesn't look good. You know, I mean, can this team be 4-0-1 or can this team be 4-1 at this point in time? You know, just the one loss, pick one. They played ugly in Washington. That was a loss. But you make a kick against Minnesota, that's 3 wins. You make the kicks in Detroit, that's 4 wins. And all of a sudden, things are looking different. You're sitting here looking, first of all, you'd be atop the division. You'd be 4-1 sitting here saying, you know what? And you haven't played, you're 4-1 and you haven't played your best football yet. By far, the outlook would be different. But because of the missed kicks, you know, okay, special teams has hurt this team. A fumble, Aaron Rodgers usually feels that pressure from the backside. He's very good at really getting rid of the football and knowing that in time. And something is like Paul used the word dysfunctional, something just isn't right. So as a Packers fan, do you feel like they are close? Like all you need is that one game. Maybe this game against San Francisco, you get it together, you get it at home, you get it on a Monday night, and then you get a week and a half to self-scout. Then you're off. You have a bye week coming up. Then you self-scout, and you try to figure things out. Everybody goes away, cools off, cooler heads prevail. They come back, and everything's right with the world. Because I really thought, offensively speaking, this thing would be on track and a well-oiled machine once we heard Joe Philbin was returning. Maybe it's just I was looking for that magic of 2012. I don't know. But you kind of felt that that would be the direction this team would go. And it just hasn't been.
Do you remember in 2015, the Packers started off 6-0. And we all kind of sat there and we watched this 6-0 football team and we said, you know what? They don't look right. Yeah, they're 6-0. Remember Mike McCarthy came out and said, you know, we're a 6-0 football team. You know, there's... You know, we shouldn't be right. Freaking out about that. But the writing was on the wall that team didn't look like they deserved to be 6-0, and then the wheels came off. Remember that? Then all of a sudden it was like a struggle to win football games because I think they went on a 3-game losing streak where they came out after beating the Chargers 27-20. That was the play Demarius Randall had to make where he batted down a ball.
Right.
Remember the Chargers were just... given the Packers fits at Lambeau Field. But then they lost to the Broncos. They lost to the Panthers. They lost to the Lions. And then, you know, that was the Hail Mary season in Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's what this season kind of feels like. Where you're right. A couple of different plays in some of these games, and the Packers have a couple more wins to their name. But even considering that, they still don't look like a great football team. This team kind of reminds me of 2015.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, you just, like I said, there's just a, I guess where you get hope is when, let's just say in the past, we've seen the defense not play well. But Aaron Rodgers was on the money. And you're like, well, you know, as long as Aaron Rodgers is there, he's going to cover up all the blemishes. Well, now you have blemishes and Aaron Rodgers isn't covering them up in a full game.
But wasn't that also the season in 2015 where Aaron Rodgers was off?
Yeah. Because remember, everybody blamed it on Olivia Munn.
Well, I blamed it more so on the play calling. You know, these constant isolation routes, and there was never a change, and we kept complaining about when is Mike McCarthy going to change his game
plan? That's what Andy Benoit said. It was offense 101, a guy that studies the film for MMQB.
Yeah.
Said it was offense 101. There's nothing dynamic about this. He said Mike McCarthy was what he called him, boring and offense 101. You know, this whole innovator thing
wasn't the case.
There's nothing there. What are you kidding? This is stuff that people install in the first week of training camp, and he never expounds upon it.
I mean, you look back at when they went 6-0 that season. They beat the Bears by 8 points. They beat the Seahawks by 10. They beat the Chiefs by 10. They beat the 49ers in a low-scoring game, 17-3. They beat the Rams by 14, and they beat the Chargers by 7. All those games were pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got just blown by the Broncos 29-10. You know?
Was that at Lambeau?
No, I was at Denver.
Was in Denver? Okay.
Yeah. I crushed them there.
It just seems like right now, are they the play or two away from being a really good team, or are they the play or two away from just being an awful team? And it just doesn't feel like there's any fluidity to this, you know? And now you've got, like I said, Clinton Dix saying he doesn't know if he's going to be here. You've got Josh Jones saying he wants more playing time. You've got other players now kind of saying, well, you know, we got this going on and that going on. You know, we've always had those kind of backhanded, veiled, even though we know what he's talking about, comments from Aaron Rodgers regarding the head coach. And by the way, I had said this a while ago. I said that you don't really hear this come out of, say, like Tom Brady towards Bill Belichick. Not until recently. And even still, I was listening the other night. Tom Brady does things at halftime on the Monday Night Football show. Now, granted, he's doing it with Jim Gray. So everybody's, you know, Mr. Softball pitcher. But it was something about the team, and he said, you know, he did nothing but praise the organization and praise the coach. And we all know there's a rift there. Then again, Brady's probably feeling pretty good because he won the rift because the owner sided with him. But they're winning football games. And I thought this might be the beginning of the end of the New England Patriots this year, and they still continue to win. They still continue to surprise. And he does not rip the head coach. I hate to get into that comparison because, you know, sometimes it's apples to oranges, but you're talking about a guy that's got the rings, that's got all the money, he's got the wife, he's got the world by the ass. And he could go out and rip the head coach. He just doesn't. You just hear this stuff, this sniping, and it you just kind of scratch your head a little bit. 855-830-8648. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Glad to have you. Don't forget about the $50,000 in quick return cash you could possibly win going to Quick Trip. In regards to the Green Bay Packers, see store for details. You know, I'm not kidding. You got some tailgating going on this coming Monday night. You can stop into Quick Trip as well. They have all your tailgate supplies, including the lowest legal beer prices on 24 and 30 packs. Get everything you need for tailgating or anything else for that matter. If you can just sit back and watch the game this weekend, get it all at Quick Trip. Great people, good stuff. I stop in there almost every day. Couple minutes before we get out of here, Mike is listening to us in Arcadia. Mike, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Thank you, Bill. I wanted to, right off the bat, thank you for actually bringing up the blasphemous point that number 12 may be actually a little bit to blame for this. That if Hopalong strips sack would possibly look at receivers in the 8 to 15 yard range, he had plenty of receivers open that game. And to have the cojones to pitch the coaching staff under the bus because he refuses to throw to people, I think is not good. Not a good look at all.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say about that.
All right. Appreciate it, man. He drops off. You get on board. 855-830-8648. Look, Aaron Rodgers, and I have been the first to say, going all the way back to the whole Favre and Rodgers discussion, Rodgers is a tremendous, 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 tremendous talent. No doubt about it. There are times where I feel that, you know, and what has made him so good, by the way, is his competitiveness to move the ball and create the big play. And almost the obstinance at times to create the big play. And that's what competitors do. That's what greats do. It's boring to get small chunks and move the sticks. They want the big play. They love that. They thrive on that. There's an adrenaline to that. There's also a time where you can look at things and say, okay, things just aren't working right now, and you need to kind of go back to the basics. You know, move the sticks, live to fight another day, sustain some drives, You know, now it's easier said than done from my perspective, you know, sitting here in a chair. But when everybody's seeing it and asking, what are you doing and why are you doing it? Then you start to say, okay, are you in essence then hurting the team? Now, Aaron Rodgers has more talent in his hand than I do in my body, and most of us do walking the face of the earth.
I think it's a good point, Bill.
Thank you very much, when it comes to playing football. But there are times you just wonder, what are you thinking? When you see a running wide open Davante Adams across the middle, Jimmy Graham, same thing, Aaron Jones out of the backfield. First downs, move the sticks. You get three more shots at it. Take it. We'll see. See what happens coming up on Monday night. Tomorrow on the show, we got some fantasy football for you. We're going to continue to talk a lot of Brewers. A lot of Brewers tomorrow. Who should be starting at game one for the Milwaukee Brewers? Also, Chris Raybon. Going to talk some betting. Jason Galloway to talk some Badgers. Badgers heading over to the Big House. A whole lot of good stuff coming up. That's tomorrow on the program. Time for us to get out of here. Have a dry one.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.